Hey, good morning, guys. Skip here. 8:45 on the 5th of March to Sunday. Kind of a lazy, hazy Sunday here. preparing for a pretty large trip at the end of the week. My wife and I, for the first time in many years, other than, you know, the occasional overnight, we are going on a vacation without children. Excuse me while I get a drink here. Our youngest child's now 15. So everyone's got plans, either with relatives or school functions or what have you, for spring break. So my wife and I, we've been married 27 years. We've been together 29. And I think this is probably the first real actual vacation we've taken together. So we're looking forward to that. I want to talk today about people. Sounds like a big topic, doesn't it? But I want to talk about how other people's reality will impinge upon your spiritual journey, your life, in negative and positive ways. So let's talk about the positive first. I'm grateful over the course of my life for the people who have taken the time to encourage, to support, and to care for me. I think that those people and the qualities that they share and did share with me and share with others, I'm sure, are vital to have in our life. Really important to have someone who has your back, so to speak, who has your best interest. And I hope that you have a few of those folks in your life. I would not be giving this podcast without many, many, many people over the course of my 57 years, and especially in the past 6 years, encouraging me and supporting me. So I'm grateful. However, and I don't want to be a negative Nancy here. Sorry if your name's Nancy. A Debbie Downer, whatever. However, I think what's probably more prevalent in our journey is the opposite. And it pains me greatly to say that, but I will tell you that my life has proven that out. And I think probably most people's have. That's why it's important to hold on to those folks and to thank those folks and to love those folks who encourage and love you. Because there's a lot of people out there, especially when you become not just successful in terms of the world, although it happens, but spiritually, in terms of spirituality. When you become something other than the world, when you present and propose ideas, when you live out of kindness, out of love, as a way of being, not just kind acts, not just loving acts, but a way of being, you will find that there will be people who will intentionally try to derail that. Because, and you should know the answer to this already, but for you newer folks, here it goes. Because they are judging their reality, their worth, their happiness by judging you. They are determining their own worth by trying to make your worth and value less. And the happier you become, the more you become I hate to use the word target, but the more you become sort of the focal point for those who aren't happy, the better you are at something, the more people will come at you because they're jealous or because they want to be like you and they don't know how to get there. What it really comes down to, folks, is a form of dualism where we are trying to make others are trying to make sense of their life by comparing themselves to others. And when you compare yourself to someone who has some modicum of spiritual success, and I say spiritual success on purpose because worldly success, people will become jealous of that, but many times we become worldly, I'm using air quotes, successful, by sort of stepping on people. I'm talking about spiritual success where you're okay being you and you're okay with other people being them, and kindness is the way you act, and generosity and love is your being. People that will threaten, that threatens the world and it threatens individuals. Let me tell you a story. And it's probably a sort of amalgam of different stories. It's probably one story that represents many stories that I experienced. You know, I've told you before, I was a ordained clergy person for 20 years. And I had a relatively successful career. Every church I served grew numerically in some way. I tried to help spiritually. That's not always possible. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying it to make a point. Also, every church I served, when you would have your introductory meeting, and it really wasn't an interview in my denomination. You were just sort of sent there, but would say, well, we want kids and young people, and we want new ideas, and blah, 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 blah. After you went to enough of these little meetings at new churches, at churches new to you, you'd hear the same refrain. And I would say that 95% of the churches that I worked in those 20 years, when they saw that influx of new people, the influx of children, the influx of new ideas, the influx of people saying, well, it doesn't matter how we used to do it. Now we're going to do it this way. It was far more detrimental. Well, I don't want to say it that way because it needed to happen, but it became negative. And it didn't take long because these older folks, the folks who were established, became jealous of the new folks. The new folks became angry with the old folks. Everyone was comparing the old ways to the new ways. The clergy person, it's not just me. I can tell you many times I've seen friends go through this who are clergy of any kind, and they're successful about bringing people in, about growing things, that it doesn't work. And it doesn't work because it threatens the institutional understanding of the way that particular church or that particular denomination or that particular religion is. That ultimately, although everyone says they want to grow this or grow that or have more people or this, they don't. It's just we say that because we think that that's what we have to say. That's what they thought they had to say. It's not what they wanted. It was a big discovery for me. Part of why I left was just the sheer realization that this was not about success. This was not about growing. This was a very, for the most part, sick, dysfunctional system. that was self-defeating in its nature and in its thought. Now, not every church or synagogue or temple or what have you is that way. I mean, there may be some that are relatively healthy individually. But I think that's rare. My point is this, that when you grow into who you really are, the world will not understand you, and it will see itself as threatened by you, and people will practice subterfuge and gossip and harmful things. And you could be a successful businessman spiritually. You can be a successful clergy person spiritually. You can be a successful musician spiritually, successful garbage person spiritually. Doesn't matter. You can drive a delivery truck. You can, you know, be a farmer. If you're spiritually inclined and you're really kind, people will see that as a threat to their judgments of others, their own prejudice, their own negativity. People will view kindness as a threat to their cynicism and to their pain and to their victimization of themselves, to their victim mentality. Now here's my advice. So what? So what? You want to know what I learned from all of that, all those years of that ridiculous sort of dance that institutions went through, people go through? So what? You keep being kind. You keep being loving. And don't lose yourself in their game. Don't lose yourself in the false reality. Don't retreat. Don't go back. So I'm going to probably name this episode, So What? Keep doing the thing that allows you to express who you are. Yes, people will resist it. So what? Yes, people will be upset by it. So what? Discover yourself. Discover yourself. Thanks, friends. Thanks for your Sunday morning time. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.